Let's take a walk in the footprints of God. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Have you heard of the groundbreaking website for Catholics called cmgbooking.com? Make sure you visit cmgbooking.com to book a great Catholic speaker for your next event. cmgbooking.com is a one-of-a-kind company that represents strictly Catholic speakers and connects them with conferences all over the world. cmgbooking.com is your number one source for Catholic speakers.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, Jerusalem Jones, my website catholicconvert.com. You're listening to Joe here on the Catholic Hack Podcast. Good work, Joe. Keep it up.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 36. And today we speak with Steve Ray. That'll be exciting. I can't wait. I hope you had a great week. I know for me it's been a long week. It's been pretty stressful. The last time I talked with you, I announced some great news about a fantastic opportunity with a Catholic nonprofit here in Houston called the Fullness of Truth, who put on some really great conferences. And I had to go actually and give notice at my current job, and I did. And thank God it went well. My boss was very understanding of the situation. He was actually happy for me to have an opportunity to do something I feel so passionate about. I was so relieved when he was very supportive of this, and that really made a difference, and that really helped to reaffirm that this was something that God was calling us to do. I still ask you for your prayers in this matter, because we are still stepping out in faith and leaving a tremendous amount of potential earnings, income. With my current job, we're leaving some sense of security, although I don't know how secure we can be in anything. But obviously this is a new venture for us, and we are having to make certain sacrifices. So please pray for us that we will be firm in our faith and that we will take up this cross and be grateful, because this is what a fantastic opportunity to be able to work full-time in Catholic ministry. Really, I'm not sure I'm worthy of it, and I'm just thankful. I'm just so blessed to have this chance. So please continue to pray for that. I've been blessed this week also with many of you have sent me some feedback this week, and it's been wonderful. You've shared some of your personal issues with me, and I very much appreciate that. I can't tell you how much of a benefit that I think it is of being in podcasting to be able to have these relationships with you. I've talked to men who have concerns about their vocations. I've talked to men who have marital concerns, men who struggle with sexual addiction, much like me. And I really am so happy that you have trusted me enough to share these things with me. And I tell you what, I really feel like I need to make it a regular part of this podcast to pray for your intentions. If you want to write me, email me, send me some voicemail, let me know what your intentions are, I would really appreciate that. And if you want them to, you want me to read them on the podcast, let me know. Because otherwise, I kind of feel that it's probably a little too private to make public that way. So I'll just speak of it generally, like I am now, and then make a prayer about it. But if you want me to, share that with the audience, then I'm happy to do so. And just let me know what your intentions are there. But otherwise, I just want to pray. I want to pray for you right now and what you're struggling with. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All praise and glory be to God Almighty. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity of fellowship and community with your children And I pray, O Holy Father, that you'll bless each and every single one of these listeners to this podcast, and that you'll grant them many graces, that you'll strengthen them in their daily walk, and that you'll be with them. And there's so many of them are struggling right now, Father. And I pray especially for the men who listen to this podcast. I pray that you'll just guide them in your holy will, that you'll strengthen them to take up their cross and march on Calvary. That they can be men of God, the man that you have created them to be leaders, to be protectors, to be warriors, to be providers, to inspire their wives and their kids to holiness, to lead them to you, O Heavenly Father. I pray that you give them the strength of humility to get rid of our ego, to get rid of it, and to trust in you, and to be the first ones to say, I'm sorry, and to bring peace to the family, to offer up the sacrifices for the wives and for the children. I pray for these men, O Holy Father, and I pray that you'll help them through their sexual addictions. Send forth your Blessed Lady, our Mother, to pray and intercede for us, to give us the graces that you've given her. And let these men trust in her, so that when they're tempted, they turn to our Blessed Lady for the strength that they need, who will in turn lead all of us to Christ. I pray for all the women who listen to this podcast, that they too will be strengthened and become godly women, women who lay down so much sacrifice for their families and who inspire us to be holier and greater than what we are now. I thank you for the gifts that each one of these people bring, and I pray that you'll be with them and strengthen them. And I ask our Blessed Lady to intercede for them and to whisper each one of their names into the ear of her Son, our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. O Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So like I said, please send me your feedback. Let me know what your intentions are. I would like to include those in this prayer, and I want to make this a routine part of this. So let me know what you think about that. I want to thank everybody who has left me some feedback and reviews on iTunes this week. I've had a few of them, and that, again, I was able to see this podcast reach it to page 2 of the Christian Featured podcast list on iTunes this week. And then right after that, it was summarily kicked off altogether. But then it's back. I don't know, some sort of iTunes fluke. But it's growing and it's standing. And that's because you guys are leaving feedback and reviews. And I really, really appreciate that. That's getting this podcast out to more and more people. So praise God for that. This week has also been tough because our kids have been sick. My two youngest ones, my daughter Mary Elizabeth, who is 2 years old, and my son John Paul, who is 7 months old, have come down with RSV, and we've had to have them at the doctor several times. We've had to put them on the nebulizer rather, and put them on the Pulmicort and the Burel and all these other things, and it's been tough. I myself came down with something, and I'm just now getting over it, and you can hear that in my voice, especially with the interview with Steve Ray. So pray for us. Please, please pray for us. Until then, we've got a fantastic interview to get to. We've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to dive deep and get into the truth with Steve Ray.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! Can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human, but we can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to assist. The change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Hammond, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive, dive, dive.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean. Today I have a very special guest for you, Steve Ray. Steve Ray is a convert to the Catholic Church and the author of three best-selling Ignatius Press books, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. Steve speaks at conferences around the world and is a regular guest on Catholic Answers Live, The Journey Home, and has appeared on many other radio and TV programs, including Fox News. Steve is a writer, producer, and host of the 10-part video DVD series, The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation from Abraham to Augustine, filmed entirely on location in the Holy Land and surrounding countries. Steve and his wife Janet are certified guides to the Holy Land and lead pilgrimages throughout the Middle East and Rome. He owns Distinctive Maintenance with 500 employees in Michigan and is a member of Legatus. He lives in Michigan with his wife Janet and has 4 children and 6 grandchildren. Steve, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in this good job that you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate the time that you've taken out of your busy schedule, because I know you're about to take off on another pilgrimage. Is that not right?
Oh, yeah. That seems like it's happening forever, so it's no big deal around here. Yeah, we're in a couple days. We're leaving to New Orleans for a conference, and then we're heading to Israel to lead our first group for 2008. We have 6 pilgrimages we're taking in 2008, and the first one starts in about a week and a half.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, Steve, why don't we get started by you telling us a little bit about your journey, your crossing the Tiber. How did a guy like you find his way to Rome?
Well, actually, people have asked me, what did you first see about the Catholic Church? What did you discern in the church that made you want to join? What was beautiful about the Catholic Church that attracted you? And my answer usually is nothing. Absolutely nothing did I see in the Catholic Church that made me interested in becoming a Catholic, interested in studying the theology, or interested in joining. Nothing at all. My journey began with finding the problems within Protestantism. It's as simple as that. I'll just give you 3 examples. I have 20,000 books in my house. People joke around that we have a house with a library with a kitchen. And the reason I have so many books is because I love to know. I have an insatiable curiosity. My father wouldn't buy me a television when I was a kid. He bought me books instead, and he read to me every night. And so this desire to learn and understand. And when I, as an evangelical Christian, born and raised in a Baptist church, and becoming quite an evangelical in my own right as I got into my teen years, I wanted to know what the Bible taught, and I studied it, and I learned it as best I could, and I was a Bible teacher and an evangelist. But when we got into our late 30s, my wife and I, by the way, she's the first Catholic in over 400 years in her family.
Wow.
We did a little family history, there have been no Catholics for 400 years, so for her to become a Catholic was a huge family betrayal. But we wanted to know what the Bible taught, and the more we studied it and learned, the more we realized that even within our own tight evangelical group, we couldn't agree on things. We couldn't agree whether you should baptize infants or not baptize infants. My Baptist tradition said no, but my favorite Protestant theologian, Dr. Francis Schaeffer, a Presbyterian evangelical, faith alone, Bible alone, he wrote a book on infant baptism and said, yes, that's how a child comes into the covenant of God. So, can you lose your salvation or not lose your salvation? Mm-hmm. I have as many books by good evangelicals that say you can lose your salvation as those that say you can't. So who interprets the Bible? Who has the final say? Is it left up to me to be the final word? Is it left up to you to be the final word? How do I get to the capability of being able to make all these decisions for myself? Because there is no official teacher of the Bible out there in the Protestant world. It really comes down to me. I become Pope Steve. That was a big problem for us, because even within our own circle of evangelicals, we had many disagreements on what the Bible meant and how to live it out and how to worship and all these things. Well, that's one issue that caused the big problem in my own Protestant tradition and in my view. Then the second one was morals. What's right in the world today? Should you abort and contracept and divorce and remarry? What are the rules? What does God expect from us? And evangelical churches, you can pick and choose to find one that will match your view of morals. But the question is, what does God think? I like to think of it as a example. When you drive down Main Street, you have McDonald's, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and on the other side you have Assemblies of God, Plymouth Brethren, Baptist, Nazarene, and many American Christians pick their church the same way they pick their restaurant. What do they feel like today? What do they want to do and eat today? What is their appetite? And the sad thing is that prior to 1930, all Christian groups, no matter what tradition they were, thought that contraception and abortion and divorce and remarriage was a sin, was a wrong. But since the 1930s, the evangelical and the Protestant churches have collapsed, boom, 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 one right after another. So I realized in the church that I was going to, I wanted to bring up the issue of abortion back in the late 80s. And the pastor said, you can't talk about abortion here because all we're supposed to be doing here is preaching the gospel and making disciples for Jesus. We shouldn't be involved in politics and medicine and government. And plus, there are a lot of women getting abortions in this church, and we're not going to rock the boat. So wow. Who speaks for God on the issue of morals?
Right.
Who does? So this is where we began to see the problems in the Protestant tradition. Even though we loved the Bible and loved Jesus and had all of our friends and family, we were all evangelicals. I don't think we had any friends outside of the evangelical world. Yet we began to see the problems, the cracks in the wall. My wife was raised in Southern California and said that she went through the big earthquake. And theologically, she said this is a lot like the earthquake I went through because all of our evangelical roots and foundations were trembling underneath us. So I didn't see anything good about the Catholic Church in the beginning. My journey began because of the problems that we saw in Protestantism.
But why the Catholic faith? Well, I mean, why didn't you just go church shopping and maybe go to the Episcopalians or even the Orthodox like Tim Staples almost did?
Well, I did. We actually came very close to becoming Orthodox. We even took classes with the Orthodox church that was nearby. We visited the Russian Orthodox Church and some others and came close to that because of several reasons. Number one is they didn't have to deal with the issue of the Pope. The Marian doctrines, even though the Orthodox believe the same way we do, they're not defined and dogmatic that you need to believe them.
Right.
And third, my family had no idea what Orthodoxy was. They thought they knew what the Catholic Church was. In fact, if I'd have said I'm becoming a Catholic, they would have just gone crazy because they viewed it as a big cult. But if I'd have said I was joining the Evangelical Orthodox Church, they would have said, oh, great, well, where do they meet? Because they didn't know the difference. But in a sense, the Orthodox and the others are all in the same category. We came close to becoming Orthodox and thought about it, but there were a lot of issues. In my book, Crossing the Tiber, by the way, I explain how close we came to the Orthodox churches and why we didn't join. First of all, you got to realize there's no such thing as the Orthodox Church. There are Orthodox churches.
Right.
And that's important to keep that distinction. But anyway, they're all kind of in the same boat. They've rejected the shepherd that Jesus has put over his flock. Jesus wanted there to be one flock. In John chapter 10, he said, I am pointing one shepherd to have one flock of sheep. And what we see when we look out in the world today is no longer one flock of sheep, but we see little groups of sheep wandering all over the place and then thousands and thousands of different denominations and independents and non-denominational groups. And they're all out there doing their own thing, studying the Bible from their own perspective. And it looks like the impression you get is that the Holy Spirit is very confused because he couldn't keep it all together. He is not able to interpret the Bible for all these people uniformly. But the problem isn't the Holy Spirit. Jesus appointed a church, and he appointed a shepherd to be over the church. And I've been to Israel 50 times, and I've even rented flocks of sheep over there when I'm making my movies for the Footprints of God series. And I find the sheep are very dumb. They're very stupid creatures, and if you let them just wander off, they'll go in little groups all over, fall into rivers, over cliffs. You know, they're just not very smart animals. That's why Jesus called us his sheep, I think, and why he gave us a shepherd to keep us all together. But what happens is a lot of people have walked away from the shepherd and have abandoned the Pope that Jesus has put over his church. And that's why you have all these little groups of sheep wandering all over the place.
Right. So what made you take that extra step and branch out from the Orthodox to, you know, skipping that and actually coming home to the Catholic faith?
Well, I began to read the early church fathers, and this is going to be a common thread that you find when people convert to the Catholic Church, and here's why it's so important. By the way, my wife and I just finished doing a DVD documentary on the Apostolic Fathers, and the title is Apostolic Fathers Handing on the Faith, and it's the first two centuries of the Church, and we deal with five Apostolic Fathers, three of them who were brutally martyred for the faith. And I was always raised to believe that the early church was Protestant in its theology. Right. And it only got corrupted with Catholic garbage later on in the Middle Ages sometimes when it got all corrupted with the human elements and traditions and so on. But originally it was pure, pristine, Protestant, Bible-only, faith-alone Christianity. A friend of mine named Al Cresta came to me after 20 years and told me that he was going to become a Catholic. It absolutely shocked me. I said to him, Al, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You're too smart to be a Catholic. But when he decided to become Catholic, it put my wife and I on a journey because we already saw the problems in Protestantism. Here's now my friend becoming a Catholic. I said, let's go back and look at the very first Christians, the very first writers, and see what they have to say. Because I put so much stock with my library here in what people are saying today, pastors, Bible commentators, theologians. I'm so concerned what they're saying today. Why don't I go back and read the very first Bible commentators and preachers and Bible teachers and see what they had to say? The closer you get to the source of the spring, the cooler and clearer the water. Let's go back to the source and see what they thought. Maybe they have some solutions for us. Maybe we can figure something out. And I went back and read these guys, which is why I made this movie, Apostolic Fathers, because it is the these are the guys that made me Catholic. I told their story with a passion. And if you don't mind, I'll tell my website, CatholicConvert.com. We have all these things for sale, and I'm if people want to check some of this out,
absolutely.
CatholicConvert.com. And so when we went back and read these first writings, I could not find my favorite Protestant doctrines in there. I couldn't find faith alone and sola scriptura. In fact, there's a fundamentalist, and he calls himself a fundamentalist, so I'm not using it pejoratively. His name is Litvin, I think it is, and he's from Moody Bible Institute. He just wrote a book about the Church Fathers, and in an interview he said, we must remember that the Church Fathers were not evangelicals. They are not evangelical Protestants. And I discovered that for myself. When I went back and studied them, I found they were not evangelicals. They didn't teach the same thing that I was believing as an evangelical. In a way, you can even say that as an evangelical, I was believing in a different religion. I was practicing a different religion than the first Christians were. The more I read these guys, the more I realized they were Catholics. And they understood something that I didn't understand. And these guys, for example, Polycarp, Ignatius of Antioch, Clement of Rome, three of the main guys I use in my story that I filmed, all on location in Rome and France and Turkey and Israel, these three guys actually were trained and taught by the apostles themselves. They were ordained as priests by Peter and John and Paul. So when they speak, they're speaking with historical authority. They are very close to the apostolic tradition. They're authentic witnesses to what the apostles actually taught and how they lived it out, especially on Sunday morning, how they worshiped it. It was the Mass. It was the same liturgy we use today, even from the first century. Well, what does an honest guy like me, and I try to be honest, what does an honest guy conclude when he looks back and sees that the very early Christians were Catholic, and he finds himself on the other side of a fence in another religion? I had to become a Catholic.
That's the same thing that led me home to Rome, was the early Christian writings. When I discovered those, it blew me away. Just as you said, just how Catholic the early church was astounding.
Yes, it's amazing. Have you seen our DVD by any chance on the Apostolic Fathers?
Not on the Apostolic Fathers, not yet, but I've seen the others, and they're fantastic. The way that they're produced is high quality. In fact, my parish did a Bible study based on your video series. They would watch it, and we'd have small group discussion afterwards. So, and my wife and I have enjoyed those for last couple of years since we've really become on fire Catholics ourselves, and that's been a part of our journey. So,
well, that's great.
They are absolutely.
I think you really like the one on Apostolic Fathers because it really brings home who the early Christians were and just how Catholic they really were. And the other side of the coin is it shows how much they really suffered for the faith. In order to hand it on from us, they're like hinge figures between Jesus and the apostles and the church. And in a way, they're the hinges. They handed on to us the faith and the truth and how it's lived out, the tradition. But they also suffered horrendously for the faith. Ignatius of Antioch was ripped to shreds and eaten by lions.
Right.
Polycarp was stabbed and burned at the stake, and Justin Martyr had his head cut off.
Yeah.
All of them because they refused to back down. They were given the opportunity, and they said, no, I am a Christian. I will not worship the gods. I am a Christian. And they went down dying for it. It's incredible what people paid the price for us to have what we have today, and we ought to be much more appreciative than we are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, it was a real touching moment when my family and I were privileged to go to Rome on pilgrimage in December of 2005. We had Mass with the Pope, but what was really touching to me was not only being at the tomb of St. Peter, but when I went into the cell of St. Peter in chains. When I went down into that cell, that tiny little cell there, and to be in that room, to me, it brought that alive for me. It became flesh, not just something I got to read on paper, but it became real, that there were real human beings, and that they were locked away in this tiny little dungeon, really, this little pit, the stone pit. And yet, even there, what do? They baptize the other prisoners. So to me, it was and like I said before, the early church fathers were really what did it for me as well. I mean, when you read Ignatius, St. Ignatius of Antioch, and he uses the term Catholic, you know, and he talks of the real presence over and over and over again, and he repeats himself to do nothing outside of your bishop, to stick with your bishop.
And
you
there's one altar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really incredible,
It's undeniable. I mean, you would be stretching yourself to try to say that's not Catholic.
It's obviously Catholic, and though they may not have had Vatican's and Pope Mobiles and these kind of things back
then.
When you look at an oak tree today, you have to acknowledge the fact that in the beginning the oak tree was just a little sprout coming out of the ground and then a sapling, and that little sprout coming out of the ground was organically the same thing as the oak tree is 200 years later. And even though the oak tree and the sapling look different, they're organically the very same thing, and that's the way the church was too. It started out as a sapling with only 12, and then it grew to 120, and then to 3,000, and today we're talking about a billion people, so obviously it's going to look a little different than it did in the first year. But your comment about actually seeing the places where this biblical history took place in the early church and what a profound impact it can play in your life. We lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land now. If anybody's interested in going with us, please check our website. We take about 5 or 6 groups a year now over the Holy Land. And my wife and I are certified guides.
Wow.
So we do the guiding, and we take you and with all of our enthusiasm and love for the faith when we go over there. But when we took our kids the first time, they changed. They were very, very different. And we asked them, what happened to you guys? And they said, well, Dad, we always knew that Christianity and the Catholic Church were true. But when you took us to the place where Jesus was crucified and we could reach down and touch the place where the blood dripped and where we were in the tomb where he was laid and raised, risen from the dead, what we knew was true before, we now know is true with a capital T. It's really, really true, and it changed us.
Wow.
It really does when you see these sacred and holy places, that these were real men and women, that this is real history. The beauty of Christianity and what the Catholic Church teaches is it's not mystery. It's not a fable. It's not just a made-up story or a fairy tale. What we believe is rooted in real history in space and time, and it is real history. It's cosmic. It's absolutely true. It explains reality and existence, and it tells us who we are and who God is, and that's why I'm a Catholic, ultimately, because it's true.
Now, had you been to the Holy Land before becoming Catholic?
No. I only went to the Holy Land after we became Catholic.
And what made you decide to get into putting on these tours, to becoming guides? Well, I mean, how did you get into that ball game?
Well, first of all, we became Catholics, and we loved it. And then we took our family overseas to the Holy Land. And we'd been to Europe a lot before being Catholics. I'd gone there for a year at one time to study our Reformation history. We traveled through 16 countries looking up the history of Martin Luther and John Calvin and so on. But when we became Catholic, we took our family there. And then I had this idea. It actually started at 2 in the morning in the Jubilee year. I woke up in the middle of the night. I grabbed my wife, scared her half to death, woke her up from a sound sleep at 2 in the morning, and I said, Janet, quick. I said, the Lord just woke me up to tell me this. We have to do a 10-part video series on the history of salvation from a Catholic perspective. And she looked at me in the middle of the night, still shaking with fear. Why did I wake her up so quickly? And she said, you woke me up to tell me that and scare me half to death. We can't even take good pictures. How does God expect us to make movies? Go back to sleep, she said. But I got up that night and I typed out the whole outline for the 10-part series that I wanted to do. It would be from the beginning, all the way from Adam and Abraham through Moses and David and the prophets, then into the New Testament with Mary and Jesus, Paul and Peter, and then into the early church with the apostolic fathers and the doctors of the church. It had to be 10 parts. Had to be called Footprints of God because I wanted it to be about God getting his feet dirty right down here on the earth with us. He's not like Allah, who wants to be separate, who is apart from mankind,
right?
Transcendent above, uneven to be unknown. But our God wants to be known. He loves us and is so passionately in love with us. He wants to be known and even came down to become one of us. Therefore, it had to be called the Footprints of God.
Hey Joe, this is Adam the Catholic from AdamTheCatholic.blogspot.com. I just really would say I enjoyed your latest podcast on Mary, the Mother of God. I mean, I love our Blessed Mother, and I think you did a real good job on explaining it, and just, I think you did just two thumbs up on that. And I'd like to also congratulate you with your combination there with SQPN. I think that's just absolutely fabulous that SQPN's growing, and you know they've gotten the blessings of the Catholic hack. So, but reason why I called is I'd like to share with you and if you play this with any of your listeners, some of the Greek that you talked about, the K Kerry Tomine, I think is just really important to understand where that word comes from, and I don't know really any Greek, how to pronounce it, so I'll probably butcher everything that has to do with that. But the verb used in Luke is keritone, I think is how it'd be pronounced. It's C-H-A-R-I-T-O-U-N. It's extremely rare in Greek. It's used only two times in the New Testament, there in Luke 1:28, where it's keritomine, and it's used in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, where I think it'll be pronounced a keritone osen, I guess. And there in Luke, it's used in the past tense, and with it being keritomine being full of grace, with it being in the past tense, it's emphasizing that it's not like she suddenly is there full of grace. With it being past tense, it's emphasizing that she has been full of grace. And that has a lot to do with some of the theology of the Immaculate Conception, our understanding of that. And that, she's been full of grace, that she's kind of, I guess you could kind of say that she's always been, filled with grace. But I guess a more exact nuance of the Greek word would not necessarily be full of grace, but maybe made full of grace or even filled with grace would be a better way to put it. But I just wanted to share some of my insights on the Greek, butcher some of it for everybody to hear that I only know English and not Greek. I would speak it. And say, God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing. All right, I'll talk at you later.
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate the feedback. That is very true. Ke katetomene, which is found in Luke's Gospel, which is a very significant Greek word. And actually, I didn't want to dive deep into that particular word yet. I was holding back on that because I wanted to focus on Mary as the Mother of God. But when we get into the Rosary series that I want to put on, and probably into the Salvation History series that I want to put on, then we're going to really dive deep, and we're really going to focus on that word, and we're going to see how in that word we can see the fulfillment of Mary as the new Eve, and how just as Eve was born sinless, so too must the new Eve, our Blessed Lady Mary, must be born sinless, and she was withheld from the stain of original sin. And actually, Steve Ray, who's today's guest, and who I'll give you part two of that series coming up next, he does a fantastic job in his series, Walking in the Footprints of God, of really explaining this word, ke katetomene. But yes, this word is very unique. It's a very unique Greek word. It really has this sense that she was always full of grace, she is now full of grace, and she will always be full of grace. And this word is used not as a description, it's used as a title. She is the full of grace. That's how the angel greets her, that she is ke katetomene. Just like, you know, President Bush is the president. Well, Mary is ke katetomene. So thanks, Adam, for that feedback. I really appreciate that. You know, I haven't received voicemail in quite a while, and most people prefer not to send me voicemail. But I would love to receive more voicemail. So if you're interested in sending me any voicemail feedback, you can call 713-568-6277, and there you can leave me some voicemail feedback, and I will play that on the podcast. AdamTheCatholic.blogspot.com is Adam's website. I'll post a link to that in the show notes. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as I did, and stay tuned for the next last half of the interview with Steve Ray. Steve Ray is a dynamic Catholic speaker, and he does a really great job with his video series. So please check that out in the show notes. I'll post lots of links there. In the meantime, please do me a favor and leave me a review on iTunes. I really want to get this podcast as high as it can go in the iTunes web store, because that's how we reach new people, and that's evangelization. Please stop by the website, www.catholichack.com, and pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt today. That's how you can support this podcast. That's how you can help to promote and spread the good news about Catholic podcasting. So pick up the Catholic Hack t-shirt today. Well, until next time, please pray for me, because I am praying for you. And I pray that God richly bless you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.